Today's reading is from Matthew chapter 11, starting in verse 1. Matthew 11, verse 1. When Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in their cities. Now when John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before me, before you.' Truly I say to you, among those born of women there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. But to what shall I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to their playmates, 'We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not mourn.' For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is justified by her deeds." So at this point, John the Baptist is already in prison, and he keeps hearing about these different things of Jesus and what's going on with him, what his ministry is accomplishing, what the popularity that he's gaining. And he sends his disciples to ask this question, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" Now, if we think back to the baptism of Jesus, there was no doubt in John's mind at that point. Yet here we see him asking this question. I can't really answer the question of what made John doubt or what made John want to ask this question at this point in time. It may be the fact that he's imprisoned. It may be that he's not able to go out and see things for himself. Maybe things just aren't turning out the way that John expected them to. Maybe he had expectations of the Christ just like everybody else did, and what he was hearing about didn't quite line up with those. There's lots of possibilities, but all of them would be some sort of a guess. I don't really know the answer as to what made John ask these questions. I think that the answer that Jesus gives basically is he already knows the answer. Just tell him what you've seen, and that will point him toward that answer. John the Baptist knew well enough those prophecies of Jesus that when they're being fulfilled by Jesus, as Jesus answers his disciples when he tells them, "Go and tell him what you see, the blind receiving their sight, the lame walking, the lepers cleansed, the deaf hearing, the dead raised, the poor having good news preached to them," all of that would have answered John's question. He is the fulfillment of those prophecies concerning the Christ. And so the answer was there all along simply by what he was hearing about him. I think it's interesting that Jesus isn't terribly different here than he is with Pharisees, scribes, Sadducees, when they're asking the same kind of questions, saying, "Are you the Christ? Is that what you're claiming to be?" And he would answer in roundabout ways. Well, here he's telling his disciples, just tell him what you see, and he'll be able to draw a conclusion on his own. Jesus always wants people to draw that conclusion based on evidence, not just a claim. So for him to just answer the question and say, why, yes, I am the Christ. Well, that wouldn't have been sufficient. But pointing back to the prophecies and them being able to see that they're being fulfilled, that does answer the question in a satisfying way. He ends the answer with, blessed is the one who is not offended by me. I don't know if that was for John's benefit, maybe the disciples' benefit. I'm not sure. But I think that we can connect it with the answer that the dead are being raised, the lame are being healed, you know, all these different things that he told them about. You can connect those two together. And there were some people that would see his miracles and not really accept Jesus as the Christ. The Pharisees did that on many, many occasions, always asking to see a sign, but never being satisfied with what they see, and certainly never coming to a belief or a confession in Christ. So he's saying, if you can look at the evidence, connect it back to the prophecies, and be able to accept it without being offended, well, then that is a truly blessed state indeed. The evidence of Jesus is a call to those that would seek out God, that would desire a relationship with him. And not everybody listens to the call. Some people are offended by it. Some people are turned off by it because that's not where they're thinking. They don't care about their place before God, or maybe they don't believe in God at all. They're not ready to accept him. And so, yes, there are those that are offended even by the evidence of Jesus. The atheist, for example, questions the existence of God, questions how God can create the universe, be an eternal being, and they use logic and trickery to try to confuse people in order to point them in a different direction, point them toward what they believe instead of what the truth is about God. But understand that a person like that, they're not looking for a reason to believe in God. They're looking for a reason to not believe in God. And so the one who is looking for a reason to believe hears the call of the gospel, sees this evidence, and they are not offended. They're glad. It is good news to them. It was going to be good news to John the Baptist too. And John recognized that his job was to point others toward the Christ, to prepare the way, to get people to thinking in such a way so that the gospel call would reach as many as possible. I think he was happy to do that work, but I think that he was at a low point being imprisoned at this time. I don't think that John the Baptist had any sort of an ego. I don't think he had any sort of a jealousy toward Jesus at all. He knew all along what his work was going to be. We need to make sure that we're not offended by Jesus, by any part of his teaching or any part of who he is. We need to be seekers of God. We need to be those that are thinking godly thoughts and happy to see the evidence that Jesus truly is the Christ, the Savior, the one who died to bring about forgiveness of sins, ushering in the grace and the mercy of God the Father, fulfilling his eternal plan. That's truly good news. Thank you for listening today. Please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.